Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
The Astros got crushed last night in Detroit by the Tigers. It was brutal. They lost 62-0. Major league record for runs in a game by the Detroit Tigers. Major league record for biggest margin of victory. At least so I'm told. I might be looking at a bit of a different website when it comes to how I get my Astros information. I'll just have you know I did not finish that game. The Astros were playing so poorly that I started playing a video game from, I think, before 9/11. Civilization 3. You know, I'm trying to build up an empire and get to the part where you get into a nuclear war with everybody and just burn the whole place down. You know, it's fun. Very, very fun. How do we make the Astros games more fun when this stuff goes down, huh? Is there any way to make this a little bit more enjoyable? The girlfriend's been sending me videos of the Savannah Bananas, who she just discovered. She is fascinated by them. They are a fascinating dynamic. I do not know whether I hate them or like them, because I do appreciate anyone who's trying to make baseball a little bit more enjoyable. But as I heard someone once joke, it does seem like the Savannah Bananas are a way that you can bring the whole family to the ballpark. And after all that, with the wife, with the kids, wife's probably going to be turned on by the little strip teases that the players do, or how they sometimes will randomly just drift into reenacting a musical, like a clip I saw last night of them doing Alexander Hamilton. Could we have that happen? Like, if it's a 10-run game, instead of Chaz McCormick coming into the game and having to pretend that it's cool that Chaz McCormick is pitching when he gets a strikeout, could we maybe do something that makes it just a little bit more enjoyable when bleep hits the fan? Because it's been happening enough that the Astros probably need to have some sort of contingency plan here. 14-1 last week, they lost to the Red Sox. 7-0, they almost got perfect gamed on Friday by the Orioles. Was it 14-0 that they lost? 12-0 that they lost. My bad. 12-0 that they lost Sunday to the Orioles. And last night, the actual final score, 10-0. Do a little math off the top of your head. Really quickly, in those four games, they were outscored by a whopping 26 plus 7, that's 33, 43-1. Woo! That's not good. So how do we make this a little bit more enjoyable? Does someone need to take one for the team? Did you know, guys, it's the 5-year anniversary of when Tom Brenneman, former Reds broadcaster, who you will now randomly see calling, didn't he call like a football game last year?
Yeah, I want to say CW.
Yeah, I think it was Syracuse Boston College.
Yeah.
I think I specifically remembered it. Good for him, he made it through a game without any homophobic slurs. He said one in the midst of a Reds game, and 5 years ago, this is how he tried to apologize.
Over on the mound, I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio.
Wow.
For the people I work with. For anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am. And never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that that could back that up.
Happy 5-year anniversary. 5 years ago today.
I forgot how long it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the, you know, the part is just the Castellanos home run. He apologized to everybody.
You want proof that cancel culture might not be real? This dude's back. This dude's back. He's back in the game. On the CW calling college football.
Syracuse game.
Hey, that's a 10-win team last year, mother bleeper. That's a 10-win team. Going up against former NFL head coach Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that's
who is,
right.
I don't know, we talk every now and then. So that's not cool, man. Don't dismiss two ACC powers. The ACC, maybe the wildest conference in all of college football. You know? After
maybe.
Clemson this year.
Maybe.
After Clemson. No one knows who's going to win. No one knows. That's a real take. That's a real honest-to-God college football take. Maybe that'll make it a little bit better. Maybe, you know, we are officially, it's week one is this weekend for college football.
Week zero.
Yeah, whatever. It's week one. That's stupid.
Week zero.
No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Like, also, something I learned yesterday, you know what else makes no sense? Apparently in Korea, you are born and you are age one upon birth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
There's different countries where that works.
Okay, yeah. So that also makes sense. It's the exact opposite. No, it's week one. It's not week zero. It's week one. It's the first week of the season. Not everyone plays, but it's week one. Don't call it week zero. That's not a real number.
You're 0 years old, just like when a baby gets born.
See, that makes sense.
It's
because you are 0 years because we're talking months. That's why they we talk in months. You know, that's why no one says, like, my child is 0 years old.
Yeah. It's week 4 hours.
But anyway, maybe that's what we need. We need to have...
Slurs?
TK and Jeff apologizing to us. Not, I don't want anyone to take one for the team. I like all three of them. I don't want Julia to go on, you know, some rant like she's Brianna Chicken Fry yesterday talking about Gaza. Like, I don't want any of that. You know what I want? I want them to apologize for the Astros to us over the course of a game. That would be nice.
What if?
Sorry about that, guys.
TK apologizes for his enthusiasm with the Chaz McCormick strikeout.
I mean, I hope the Killer Bees ask him about that.
He's like, I heard
a Syracuse broadcaster to Syracuse broadcaster. Yeah. Like, listen, man, this is a serious game, and that seriously was embarrassing because it was embarrassing that Chaz McCormick was out there, and we're getting excited about a strikeout in a game where the Astros are down 10-0. I get it though. He's got a job to do. I got a job to do, but I was annoyed by that. And I would have liked an apology like Tom Brenneman, minus the slur.
Syracuse on Syracuse violence.
Syracuse. Well, this is Syracuse on Syracuse violence. This is Syracuse.
Syracuse man helping Syracuse man.
Two of the most incredible Syracuse graduates ever, right? Like, yeah. Bogelon, obviously.
Working in Houston.
Maybe the
today,
greatest
yes.
like sports talk show host there's ever been. And Todd Callis, who is the Astros play-by-play guy. You know, like, we're on the same level. Like, a lot of people respect us, right?
Yeah.
People, they're wondering about what we do all the time. And, you know, I'm just talking to him. I know he doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is. And, you know, it's like that healthy Syracuse to Syracuse respect.
Yeah. It's the Jeep wave of Syracuse. backseat play-by-playing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And by the way, I mean, everyone knows I'm being completely serious right now. Yeah. What else could make things better when the Astros are getting shelled by the Tigers 200-0? That was the final score last night. Major league record. Incredible. How about this? How about can they call John Kruk?
Just cold call him?
Just cold call. Just cold call, like, the funniest baseball people, like Kevin Millar, Pedro Martinez, until you get somebody. Right? Like, Jeff Plum played in the league. He's got to have some digits.
I mean,
just put it on speakerphone and be like, hey, man, this sucks, huh?
I know one manager he had, Ozzie Guillen.
Ooh, that would be great. No offense to Jeff Bagwell. Jeff not bringing a lot of energy in these spots. And also, since he's, you know, part of the team, he's probably going to do a little spin zone. It was baseball. Like, no, well, losing 315-0 isn't baseball, in my opinion.
Jeff Bagwell can sit there. Hey, I remember 20 years ago, we had a pretty bad stretch. Guess what happened then?
Yeah, that's true, because the last time the Astros had a stretch like this, they made it to the World Series. If you want to do that spin zone, I saw a McTaggart post that. McTaggart was not spinning it. He just posted it.
Facts only with McTaggart.
This is the first time in more than 4 years the Astros have been shut out three times in a four-game span. They went on to the World Series that year. But it was April of that season, April of 2005. So, I mean, maybe you call it just cold call John Kruk, and he gives you stuff like this, where he's talking about clocks or something.
So you know how I think of things when I have free time and I shouldn't?
Yep.
So I was wondering, the person who invented the clock.
Yeah, which one, the digital or the hand?
The first clock ever.
Okay.
How did that person know what time it was?
Well, that's a really good question.
I thought so.
Bouncer back toward the middle. Gobbled up by Young. One hopper. And Bohm is safe. You know, there is that sundial they might have used.
Is that accurate, though?
No, I guess it's as accurate as it can be. So when you were contemplating the clock thing, did you come up with any answers yourself?
No. I thought I'd ask you.
I would think sundial.
Okay. See, this is riveting. I like this because it's a lot like my radio show where we're just spitballing. He's like, hey, what's that all about, huh? That's crazy. Anyway, there's a drive to the left field by Castellanos.
It is like if Paul called a baseball game.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be
amazing?
What
about sundials?
I mean, listen, no one would be able to fill the time quite like me, but it would definitely, I mean, unlike Vin Scully, who was an artist, it would be just like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? They might have a straitjacket waiting for me.
It's like
outside the booth.
Vin Scully is like the radio broadcaster equivalent of painting the Mona Lisa. You're just throwing paint at the wall.
And then I call it art later.
Yeah, it's modern art.
Right,
you wouldn't get it.
Exactly. That's the best. Like, well, what do you think it means?
Yeah, exactly.
Just ask that all the time.
It's a cluttered mind. That's what it is.
Here's more John Kruk, who also saw his play-by-play man. He's the Phillies color commentator. He used to play for them back in the day. I'm missing Kruk on ESPN, not going to lie. Here's Kruk just talking about the sandwich that it looked like a hoagie that the play-by-play guy was starting to chomp on.
Wow.
Well, I can't see it. You got the paper. So
there's a lot of paper.
That's a
Lisio's roll.
Hardy sandwich.
Seeded roll. The shallots. The tail.
Jimmy John's.
Outside corner.
What are shallots?
They're like onions, aren't they?
I don't know.
What are shallots?
They're fancy onions.
Fancy onions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm going to take mine home and have it for breakfast tomorrow.
Good idea.
A sandwich?
And maybe lunch, too.
You probably could have it for both. Terran's eating it without the cutlet on it.
God hates a quitter. I'm making a mess. I'm sorry, guys.
I got really excited. God hates a quitter.
A salad on a sandwich. This is really up my alley.
Salad on a sandwich. Just like croutons. The bread, the croutons. 0-2 to Suarez.
Croutons on a sandwich sounds good.
If I ever become a vegan, would you just punch me in the face as hard as you can?
You know, Sarge had us asked us to do something to him if something happened, but we didn't do it. So, yeah, we would do it to you.
Please do. Just take turns. You go first.
I would never do that.
Then Ben and Ruben, Larry, Scott.
Larry might do it. I would never do it, though.
Stock.
Stock might do it, yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Can we start riffing? Because, listen, didn't expect to see a lot of this the rest of the year. But now, TK and Jeff have seen a good amount of it in the last week. Just four massacres. And, sorry, Chaz McCormick strikeouts? That's not getting me through it. It's good for the social clip, you know? It's good for the social clip to promote the Space City Home Network. It's not good to make me feel better about the fact that the Astros lost last night's game 347-0, okay? Like, that's just not going to make me feel better. So start cold calling dudes that played baseball and just shoot the breeze and ask, like, what is Tarragon? Or whatever John Kruk was asking there.
Yeah.
It's time to have backup plans and something better than getting excited about Chaz McCormick throwing a strikeout, okay?
Yeah, I'm taking inspiration from the sandwiches that the Phillies broadcast got.
What kind were they? Do you know?
I have no idea, but I imagine it's some sort of hoagie Philly delicacy. I just looked up what food is Detroit known for? Because tonight with
Detroit style pizza,
Tarik Hill, yeah, Tarik Skubal on the Hill. There's a chance it could get out of hand.
God, you ain't kidding.
But there is Hunter Brown. There is Hunter Brown, but unfortunately, he will have to give the ball to the bullpen at some point.
It's his return to Detroit. That's right. It's going to be nothing going into the eighth.
And then Sean Dubin comes in and gives up 17 runs.
No.
Yeah, so Detroit-style pizza looks like that's the cuisine, the headline cuisine for Detroit. And what is Detroit-style pizza exactly? Tavern?
I think the crust is smaller.
It looks smaller on this.
Oh, man, it's making me hungry.
I am very hungry. So, oh, it's like a square. Or a rectangle cut into squares. Interesting.
Ooh, square pizza.
Yeah.
Why squares? Do they not have. Huh.
Are they like, I don't know.
Are they Canadians?
I just have.
It sounds like South Park Canadians. They don't have this everything's a block. The wheels are blocks up there.
I just have Google images, Detroit style pizza. I'm looking at a bunch of square pizza. A rectangle pizza cut into squares.
From the 713, those sound bites bring you back to the days of 3 to 4 hour baseball games when you could talk about things and you came into people's living room and became part of their life. But I know you like those 2 hour games, Paul.
Yeah.
Well,
better when they're losing.
This is the problem.
By 75.
Listen, when you lose 400, when you lose 492 to nothing, like the Astros did last night, it was a major league record. You have to have somebody who is capable of drifting off, okay? Like, maybe they need to, if Chaz McCormick is in the bullpen, should I be in the bullpen for the Space City Home Network? For a nominal fee, I'd do it. Just have me do it from my home, watching it on a delay. I feel like you would certainly think the thoughts might be bad. You might be like, this person needs to be euthanized. He needs to be put down. He needs to be killed.
This is a sick individual.
He's a sick individual. We cannot let him get near our children. But I think this is what the Astros need right now, because that's what's happening. 4 on the freakout scale out of 5, because they just keep getting stuffed into a locker. And last night's 792-0 loss was, to me, like a sign that they need to start thinking about some other stuff. From the 512, Detroit pizza's thicker crust, but cooked in an oil pan. Very blue collar. It's trash. Oh!
Yeah, Wikipedia describes it as rectangular pan pizza with a thick, crispy, chewy crust. That seems like it's hard to do, to be crispy and chewy. It's traditionally topped on the edges with mozzarella or Wisconsin brick cheese.
What?
Caramelizes the blah, blah, blah.
That sounds good. See? Yeah. So how about TK and when the Astros... Not when.
It's designed to use as automotive brick pans?
That makes sense.
Huh. Interesting.
It's the Motor City.
It is the Motor City. And even their pizza has motor oil on it.
Virginia Buttonweed suggesting stand-up comedy in the middle of it. That would be fun. A little open mic.
Jason Alexander. They have Jason Alexander.
They do have Jason Alexander. That's true. What's the deal with airline food? Boom, 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 boom. They could pander into nostalgia. Let's just drift in last night. Did you see SportsCenter last night? Rich Eisen, who has been at the NFL Network for a very long time, but was a SportsCenter anchor back in the day. He used to do SportsCenter with Stuart Scott. He was in, and I think ESPN realizing that a lot of people have become turned off by the constant speak for your pizza shows and that there's a lot of random people talking about sports like they probably shouldn't. Like, I don't know, Monica McNutt talking about the NFL and confusing Barry Sanders with Shador Sanders when she's my age. That happened. We played the clip of that. So they're bringing back Rich Eisen, and in a way to foreshadow his return, they brought him back doing what he used to do. And I'm not going to lie, maybe this is something that the Astros could do in the middle of an Astros game when they're losing. Did you hear the SportsCenter theme that they played? It's like this, it was sexy. It was good. Sax.
put a saxophone underneath everything. Jazz McCormick on the hill. Astros down 854-0. And he slides it into the strike zone for strike three. Oh, give me that saxophone, Jeff. Hell yeah. Just give Jeff a sax. Play this underneath it.
Also, the clips on the YouTube video are like so quintessential 90s and 2000s. Oh, like beautiful. Highlight. It's like Jorge Posada and Randy Johnson and Shaq and Kobe. It's like just such a like time capsule.
But nostalgia is a powerful tool. A lot of people were excited to see Rich Eisen back on SportsCenter last night. I didn't actually watch it. I figured there would be highlights. I do have a great deal of respect for Rich Eisen as a broadcaster because he has pulled off the remaining likable while moving into the sports take sphere. I don't think that's easy to do. I would say that maybe Rich Eisen isn't the most entertaining, but Rich Eisen has maintained pretty much universal approval over at the NFL Network and then doing the Rich Eisen show for years and years. He's a Jets fan, but he's not annoying about it like Mike Greenberg, who is constantly thrown in our face all the time. I think he's pretty reasonable. I think he does a pretty good job with interviews. I wouldn't say he's on Dan Patrick's level, but it is cool to see Rich Eisen back in there. And it was cool for at least one night to see what SportsCenter used to be like. But we're never going back to that. It's just never coming back.
Yeah, it's something where like we all like, you know, yearn for those days. But it is, it's just something where you just it technology kind of moved past the need for a sports show at the end of the night to tell you everything that happened in sports. It's like, well, we got it right here, you know, like, it kind of makes it not obsolete, but it makes it less essential to watch. Like it was like even Rich Eisen wasn't on ESPN when I grew up. But when I grew up, if you wanted to know what happened in sports, you had to watch SportsCenter either, you know, in the morning getting ready for school or before you go to bed.
One or the other. I liked SportsCenter at night. I think that's when Eisen and Stuart Scott would generally be on. We'll get to Scott in just a moment because Eisen had a very cool tribute to him. Yeah, we are at a point in time where the highlights are readily available to you. I actually like having some random guy talk about the highlights in the background, but there was an art to that. There was an art to that, and the SportsCenter guys were really good at it, and they always had this great chemistry, which sort of added to it. And it's hard to do that, especially when you put guys on a level where they actually become stars, which ESPN used to have this mentality that, hey, if we lose talent, like they will be nothing without us. But it is different where you can leave and you can do your own thing. And I think the big issue now is like how you get super talented people in those sports anchor roles to have that kind of charisma and ability on the air when you're not willing to pay them. Not to say that a sports broadcaster needs to be paid a lot of money. You know, a lot of people could do this job. I'm very thankful that I have it. But I realize there's so many people who want it. You can always find somebody who's got talent. But to keep people doing that same job over and over for years and years and years, you're going to need to pay them.
Yeah, and they
wanted money, and I think that's why it led to a lot of these guys that ended up leaving the ESPN and moving on to other things.
Yeah, because they became stars. They became television stars essentially. And I think especially now it gets even harder because you're spending the money on the broadcasting rights for these games, which is that's fine. That's what you kind of should be doing at ESPN is making sure you have games to broadcast. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, you're spending the most money on Stephen A. Smith, on Pat McAfee, on like your lead opinion havers, which is like the pivot away from the SportsCenter anchor. So if you are a broadcaster coming up, it's like, well, would I rather be the random no-name guy on SportsCenter reading highlights
or the hot take guy
for 3 years, or should I try to be the hot take guy where maybe I make millions upon millions of dollars?
The career trajectory for the hot take guy is big, and I've certainly drifted in that direction. I'll admit it. I like to think that my show is funny and entertaining, but like, could I do what these guys did back in the day? I suppose I could. I don't know though that I would stand out in any way, shape, or form. That's what was great about these SportsCenter guys. They actually really were able to do it. I'm not trying to put them on a pedestal too much. I think nostalgia has certainly made us all look back in time and think, oh yeah, these guys were fantastic. But they were. And to wrap up this little nostalgia segment, I did think that this moment was very cool at the very end, where Rich Eisen paid tribute to Stuart Scott, who passed away a while ago.
There should be someone else right here in this chair next to me. Right there. As he was for my 7 years in the role he referred to as my TV wife. And that's my dear late friend, Stuart Scott, who is indeed looking over my shoulder tonight. I frequently think of Stuart a lot and what he might think of the sports headlines of the day, like, say, Bill Belichick being the head football coach at his beloved school. We used to host sports centers after LeBron's high school games. So what would Stuart think of James still playing at age 40 with 40,000 points? And with all these new crossing of sports TV streams, like, say, ESPN buying NFL Network and partnering up with my Daily Show, what would it look like if Stuart sat in with, say, Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles when Inside the NBA comes here to ESPN this fall? I could go on and on because I miss Stuart so very much. He should be in that chair with me, with us tonight.
I thought it was cool. He's been gone 10 years, Stuart Scott. One of the best. And ESPN, it used to be the best. It's certainly a little bit different these days. I see a lot of texts talking about that right now. Someone did have a good idea to lighten up the mood a little bit as far as making the Astros broadcast a little bit better the next time they get spanked. Because last night they lost 1,053 to nothing. The Tigers set the record. That was incredible, honestly. You know, I did play Civilization 3 for a little bit, but I tuned back in to see run number 1,053. But someone suggested, you know, bring Milo Hamilton back. And it did make me think, you know, back in the day, what radio guys would do, the radio broadcasters of baseball, since there was no visuals, some of the stuff that they would do to jazz things up, pretty cool. Like, very creative, very elaborate, like playing on a bongo or like on a bell to make it seem like something was going on. You could pretend that a streaker happened if you really wanted to. Back in the day when radio had all the power, like, hell, you could do what the guy from Citizen Kane did. It was Orson Welles. Yeah, Orson Welles. You could pretend that the world's getting invaded by aliens and everyone starts freaking out. And
the Nice Cube makes a movie about it.
I might
70
watch
years later.
If the Astros lose tonight, I will watch that.
Oh, that was a hypothetical we had on the Dell show. Someone asked us, would you rather watch an Astros game or War of the Worlds? Yeah. I was like, well, I've seen both. War of the Worlds is a little bit shorter.
That's what I heard. Sean Mason behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, 10-minute drill. A quarterback competition is over. And it affects the Houston Texans. We'll talk about it next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
We are 16 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who's the greatest 16 ever? Well, I think we got to give it to the one, the only, Joe Montana. Got to. You got to.
Yep, the greatest quarterback of all time.
Shut up.
Undefeated in Super Bowls.
Well, listen, that part is true. That part is certainly true. But, I don't know. Let's take a look at something. Let's take a look at Joe Montana's playoff game log.
It was a different era back then.
It was a different era.
They're allowed to play defense back then, Paul.
Well, some do say that. Some do say that. Joe Montana, and let's see, his game log for the postseason. Having a tough time finding it. Here's what I can tell you. Joe Montana was stuffed so hard into a locker by the New York Giants multiple times. That would never happen to Tom Brady. Ever. It's one of the things that drove me crazy when people would be like, well, Montana's undefeated in the Super Bowls. There was a time where people made that argument. Well, he's undefeated in Super Bowls, which is the stupidest argument. Brady kept on making it. Had Brady lost all of them or played poorly in all of them, that would be one thing.
Montana's 4-0 in Super Bowls, man.
Oh, cool. Guess who got to his Super Bowl without Joe Montana? The 49ers with Steve Young, because they traded him to the Chiefs, where he wore number 19. Just saying. Joe Montana is one of the greatest ever, but I will get militant, defensive, and jihad you if you suggest he's better than Tom Brady, especially because of the idea that he had a 4-0 Super Bowl record.
Once it was on the biggest stage, that guy didn't lose.
I think
Joe Cool didn't lose.
I think, okay, Tom Brady threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl and they lost. Like, I think that big internet is making it tough for me to find Montana's playoff game logs.
Roger Goodell is disrupting the signal.
It's a smear. Once again, smearing Tom Brady. That's what they do. Anyway, silliness aside, Joe Montana was awesome and
was the greatest quarterback of all time before.
For a while, yes. And those 80s 49ers teams were unbelievable. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, amongst others, they were incredible teams. Montana was awesome, and one of my big regrets is that I was not old enough to ever watch him play. He, I believe, was out of the league by the year that I really started watching, and I remember games, 1995. That's the first year I remember watching football generally every single Sunday. He had retired after 94. Bummer. 2 years with the Chiefs. Anyway, 16. Who's the best 16 Houston Texans history? This is another number not so great. At least there's no Brock Osweiler memory lane to go down and remember the horror. The horror. Matt Amendola. You might remember him as the guy who subbed in for Kaimi Fairbairn and lost because he had a field goal hit the crossbar at the end of regulation, a game between the Texans and Jaguars. Looked like the Jaguars were going to run away with the AFC South there, 8-3. That's where that dork Jaguars fan, I told you, the Jaguars run the AFC South. And then the Jaguars just had an epic collapse down the stretch, which was so glorious to behold. Just so beautiful. But Matt Amendola hit that field goal. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
They might have fired Doug Peterson earlier. Kiki QT wore number 16 from 2018 through 2020.
One of the biggest what-ifs in Texans history.
Sure. Trendon Holiday wore 16 for a little bit. And then
that guy was good.
Well, yeah, part of the... Trendon Holiday was big-time player for the 2012 Broncos.
Yeah.
Had a couple of big kick returns. The rest, Keaton Slovis on the team right now. Took a very big hit on Saturday against the Panthers. Still made a nice throw. Joey Sly, another kicker. And Ty Zentner. I don't know who that is. But he was a punter. Okay, so it's just kickers and punters for the most part.
That makes sense. 16 is not what I'd say a glamorous number.
It is kind of surprising, though. Like, Joe Montana. Wouldn't somebody try to be Joe Montana? There's so many 12s. There's a lot of quarterbacks who have been 12. Namath, Brady, Rodgers, just off the top of my head. Bradshaw.
Yeah.
That's just top of my head. So many. Dan Pastorini was 7. Kenny Stabler was 12. That's it. Because Stabler was an Oilers quarterback for a cup of coffee. Anyway, we continue our countdown. What's going on in the National Football League? The Indianapolis Colts have named Daniel Jones their starting quarterback. Interesting. Daniel Jones will start week one for Indianapolis. Shane Steichen, when asked about Daniel Jones, said this: "We will not have a quick leash on him." Sounds like Anthony Richardson's time in Indianapolis is all but over, as some people say. Until Daniel Jones inevitably does some catastrophic turnovers in a Colts game, and all of the dorks online, the dork mafia, start saying, "But you gotta let Richardson play to see what he's got!" Which has happened so much to the point where even though he is a Florida Gator, like I just want him out of Indy.
I think right now is a great time if you're still a Anthony Richardson defender. Because now the beauty of it is he doesn't play. So now it's hypothetical. Now it's all like, ah, come on. Anthony Richardson could do that. If Daniel Jones is doing it, of course he could do that. But you don't have that pesky thing of him actually playing and proving you wrong. So it's not over. It's not over. Because Daniel Jones, like you said, could always have some mind-numbingly stupid throws.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get hurt. He gets hurt a little bit. I think that there's a good chance when the Colts play the Texans, which I think is late in the season. I think the first matchup is in November. It's like, it might by that point, circled all the way back to Anthony Richardson by
That's
that
fair.
Point in the season, given how we think that the Colts season's going to go.
That's a good point. Yeah. This is a team that just a couple of years ago was a drop pass away from beating the Texans for the AFC South after that Jaguars collapse with Gardner Minshew under center. And while Minshew played poorly in that game, it was not his fault on that play.
No.
They have fallen quite a way since then, despite actually getting Anthony Richardson as their quarterback going into that year. So much hope. He had that game against the Texans where he scores touchdowns the first two drives. Colts fans lost their minds. And ever since then, you just can't hit the broadside of a barn. One of the most inaccurate quarterbacks we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Other quarterback controversy still ongoing. The Saints, we have no idea who their starting quarterback will be. They will not announce one this week, it seems. Kellen Moore, when asked about it over the weekend, said, we'll see.
Too many good options.
So many.
I wish I could start all these guys.
I mean, you got Tyler Shuck, and you got Spencer Rattler, and you got Jake Haener. See, I remember all three of them.
Big three.
Big names. I feel for Saints fans, this is going to be a rough year. Saints fans are cool. They care. They're ain'ts level again in an excruciating amount of debt. And with...
They need to call a hotline or something.
Who is a good player?
No, I'm debt free. I'm Mickey Loomis. I used to owe millions upon millions to Roger Goodell. Now I'm debt free. Alvin Kamara's still on the Saints.
That's fair. Is he still Alvin Kamara?
Alvin
Kamara is arguably their best player.
Unclear.
Chris Olave, Demario Davis. This is the artificial intelligence.
Demario Davis still on the team.
Cam Jordan. Is Cam Jordan still there?
Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu retired.
Yeah.
So,
They got... I'm comfortable saying they have four good players. They have four good...
Names
good
I recognize.
Football players.
I wonder about most of those guys. Anyway, we'll see if Jordan still has something left in the tank. Probably does. There was a preseason game last night. It was Bengals Commanders, Monday Night Football. Joe Burrow played for a couple of drives, got wrecked, got walloped on a play, and it led to some embrace debate on like, why are you putting your starters in the preseason game? Naturally, Micah Parsons weighed in on this. Micah Parsons, who is not playing,
he's got free time
for the Dallas Cowboys, with no appreciation for irony or hypocrisy. Player franchise quarterback in the preseason, they said, wrote Clarence Hill, a Cowboys beat writer. Micah Parsons reposted this on X, saying, "This is what we needed. We've just become soft in my generation. You got to figure out what's wrong in the preseason. They will be better from it." Micah has not played. And by the way, the latest on Micah Parsons per Adam Schefter, who I think was on 105. Wait, hang on. No, he was on Unsports ESPN, which is the morning show, I guess, on ESPN Radio. And he said that it sounds like at some point in time between the Cowboys and Micah, whether that's now after the season, after two seasons, it sounds like the two sides are headed to a divorce at some time. Classic of the Cowboys. But bringing it back to last night's game, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Daniels played. Jaden Daniels had a rushing touchdown. Dan Quinn wasn't thrilled about that. And the Commanders are trying to trade running back Brian Robinson. I don't know what's going on there. Brian Robinson is the running back who got shot that one time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He did get shot that one time. I think there's a backup who's...
Right. I think that's it. They had like 100 yards and a quarter rushing yards.
There's a backup with the hyphenated name.
Yes, I agree.
Week one, I'll learn your name, buddy.
That guy. Maybe he's the new Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Someone will draft him in fantasy. That's how I'll learn his name. But yeah, I think that's what's going on there. Brian Robinson, Texans.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, we don't know if he'll be ready.
And speaking of Joe Mixon, up next, the latest on Joe Mixon, what we're hearing from reporters and what we're hearing from Nick Caserio. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Today's been a fun show because even though the Astros lost last night, 2,598.111 to nothing last night. We've been just drifting off and having ourselves a good old time. Hopefully the Astros get back in the win column against the Tigers tonight with Hunter Brown on the hill going back home against Tarik Skubal, who's also, I'm told, a very good pitcher. He won the Cy Young Award last year. Anyway, the Astros need to score runs. Hot take. They've been shut out three of their last four games, and they scored one run against the Red Sox last week. And if you combine those four games, I think it's, what, 43-1 that they've lost four games over the course of the last week, including a game where they almost got perfect game by somebody who has an ERA that's almost seven. Yes, all of that. All of that. But hey, hey, it's almost Houston Texans football season, guys. So let's talk about what matters. The Houston Texans. That's right. AFC South champions, again. Joe Mixon, though, Texans running back that did pretty damn good last year considering the offensive line in front of him didn't know how to run block. His health is up in the air. Here is what Aaron Wilson is reporting when it comes to Joe Mixon. Aaron Wilson of Channel 2. Quote, I believe he starts the season on the non-football injury list, which would sideline him for week one against the Rams in L.A., continuing by saying it's been tough and complicated rehabbing for Joe Mixon. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, was on with the Texans flagship this morning. And while on, he gave a bunch of vagaries about Joe Mixon's status. The last segment we had talked about whether or not the Texans would potentially sniff Brian Robinson. Whether they will or won't, whether they should or shouldn't. To me, it's not about that. To me, it's if they go and get Brian Robinson, then Mixon's probably in some serious trouble for this season. And you would definitely prefer Mixon to a Brian Robinson. But I am curious about Nick Chubb. Training camp, it's been a hard watch. But in training camp, it's weird because you're not supposed to tackle. And Chubb is one of the best running backs in NFL history when it comes to yards after contact. I've been listening to Landry and Cody doing their SNL Houston Texans podcast to stay as on top of Texans training camp as I can. And one of the things that they've been laughing about, and I can confirm this observation, is that Chubb looks like he gets stuffed a lot at training camp practices, but since no one can get brought to the ground, he just keeps going, and then he takes off downfield, and people who have been watching training camp practice from the stands, they get super excited whenever he does that. They're like, yeah, touchdown run! He looks like the guy he used to be! And I would say to a lot of those people, take that with a grain of salt, but to bring it back to the preseason game on Saturday, I thought there were a couple of moments where Chubb looks like a running back that at least is always going to go forward if he's not the old Nick Chubb. So, if Mixon can't go, a lot of pressure on Chubb early on this season. And, like, I don't know what's going on with Dameon Pierce. I really don't. It would be nice to see Pierce back out there, but, you know, you're in a new offense and he's not out on the practice field. It does make me wonder how much they're going to trust him going into the season. And it does feel like he's going to be second on the depth chart, best case scenario, behind Nick Chubb if he's not third on the depth chart without Joe Mixon behind Dare Ogunbowale, who the Texans love.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades player. And plus, you got Woody Marks, who's having a good camp. So, and played pretty well on Saturday. So, the running back situation is an interesting one. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot of names playing this position this season. Because I don't know what's going on with Mixon, but none of this sounds great if he's having rehab issues and hasn't even been seen, if I'm not mistaken, at training camp.
Yeah, I haven't seen any reports that he's been even out there. Like today, or yeah, I forgot if it was today or yesterday, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson was out there. Actually, it was last week. You were there too. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was back out there. So that to me raises a lot of red flags with this Joe Mixon thing. And it's funny because it started kind of as a red flag, and then we got additional reporting that's like, week one's not off the off the table. And then now we're getting close, 16 days away from the start of the NFL season. It's like Joe Mixon's not even out there and not practicing. He's not out there at all. I think it's fair to just be like a little, Nick Cage panic scale, not out of 4 like with the Astros, but it's on my radar now of like, hey, I'd really like Joe Mixon to be out there at some point.
Yeah. I think it's less than a 50-50 proposition he plays week one right now.
Same.
How much less? I don't know, but I already was a bit skeptical with the way that they rolled that news out, and they tried to really keep it quiet to start training camp. And look, they're always going to keep you in the dark when it comes to injuries, for good or for bad. There was a lot of freak out over C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's part of
it. What's going on? And you've heard also D'Amico Ryan's get a little annoyed when asked for injury updates. They're just going to be vague because the NFL has just a weird level of paranoia for some reason that I can't quite put my finger on. But as far as Joe Mixon goes, it's not looking like he's going to be playing week one against the Rams. We have some breaking news, some major breaking news, guys. And this directly impacts your Houston Rockets. Because, get this, one of the most recognizable Rockets of the last half decade, hell, arguably the most recognizable Houston Rocket of the past half decade before Kevin Durant got brought in, is calling it quits. John Wall has officially retired. He announced that today. I thought he already was retired. But John Wall retired after 11 seasons in the NBA. He played for the Wizards, Clippers, and Rockets. The Wizards put out a couple of posts. I have yet to see a Rockets post.
That's understandable.
He did trash them a little bit.
You got traded to the Rockets. Talk about the Rockets experience.
Trash.
I already know.
I know. Beyond trash.
Poof. How long ago was that?
This clip, I can find.
He did not play for the Rockets in 2023, right? He was on the Rockets, but he never actually played for the Rockets. Taking a look at his Pro Basketball Reference. 2021, 2022.
February 23, that's where this clip
Okay, because that was when he was with the Clippers.
Yeah.
So he technically was a Rocket 2020 to 2021. Then in 2021 to 2022, did not play, sat out, and then he played for the Clippers.
Yeah, they bought him out, and then because I think he had 3 years left when he got traded. So he played for one of them, sat out for one, got cut.
Played 34 games his last season with the Clippers and just started, just 3 starts. John Wall, he's not old. John Wall is, I believe, 33. So, 33, 34 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and he has been out of the league for about 2 seasons. So, pour one out for, as many call him, Optimus Dime. That's what Pro Basketball Reference says his nickname is. And as others say, Tupac.
What?
That's what it says. Jonathan Hildred Wall Jr., a.k.a. Optimus Dime and Tupac. He gave himself that one.
I think if people just called him John Wall. He was a two-name guy, where it's always first and last name. But, good player, not for the Rockets, but good player in his time.
From the 346, I hate you. That was not breaking news worthy. Well, listen, it was announced as if it was by Shams Charania. He posted that. I assumed he had already retired.
He does fall into that category. He does fall into that category. Yeah. After
it's
2 years.
Rockets legend.
All right.
He was a...
phrased it correctly. He was the most recognizable Rocket for a time.
Yeah, for the last half decade. It was John Wall. Who else? Post James Harden. No one.
That
is true.
Victor Oladipo. Two-thirds of the wow factor.
All facts. All facts that I said right there.
Honestly, Steven Adams might be like fifth on that list of recognizable guys before Durant.
Yeah. Well, listen, trending upwards. Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, 87 and 88, respectively, in NBA 2K.
There we go. The Rockets have arrived, folks.
Yep, they've arrived.
Also, do you see, and I only saw a caption. I didn't, because this interview was in Turkish. But Alperen Şengün, when asked what he needs to work on this season, he said touch around the basket.
That's true, he does.
And then I think he also said his body.
Ooh! So, he's like he listens to the
ball. Yeah, I was going
to
say, he like nailed it. Good job.
All you Turkish listeners who think Paul Gallant hates Alperen Şengün. No.
He likes Şengün. He hates you.
Right. I just hate you, Turkish Rockets fans who are weirdly obsessed with Alperen Şengün at the expense of the rest of the roster. You. I hate you. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros. What's realistic to expect out of Hunter Brown in a big game like tonight, given the way he's been pitching of late? I leave that up to you. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 975.